Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming out on a chilly morning. But I got to tell you, isn't it sweet to come together and sing the Lord's praises? You know, we've already been seeking the Lord. And I got to tell you, one thing that was a special treat for me this morning here in this hour is, did you notice that everybody up on this platform leading us in praise, did you notice? It was all guys. It was all men. And wasn't it sweet? Wasn't it sweet to your soul to praise the Lord this morning? It was sweet to mine. But you know, we're not done seeking the Lord this morning. We've been worshiping Him. We've come to Him in song. We've recounted who He is and how He works and how He saves. We've given offerings, reminding really our own hearts that He's the Lord and that everything we have is from Him. And now we're going to look at the Word. Now we're going to dive into His Word and continue to seek Him and continue to worship. This morning we're going to talk about seeking the Lord in 2018 in particular. I'm going to be walking through a little bit of John 1. I don't have all the scripture. I've got just a little bit of the scripture up on the screen for you. But I want you to be thinking, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? In John chapter 1, we've got the situation, this scene opens up in John chapter 1. We've got John the Baptizer, okay? Not John the disciple, but John the Baptizer. And we read starting in verse 35, again the next day John, that's John the Baptizer, was standing with two of his disciples. And we know that one of these disciples was Andrew. We don't know who the other one was. Some people think John, we really don't know. But we know for sure, because of what happens in the next few verses after where we're going to stop today, that Andrew was one of these two disciples. So you got John the Baptizer standing there with two of his disciples. Remember, John the Baptizer's ministry was before, it had begun before. His ministry was to prepare the way, to call people, to prepare their hearts, because the Messiah was coming. So you got John the Baptizer, whose ministry, public ministry, has already begun, and he's there with two of his disciples, right? These are men who, in following the Lord, they're following John's teaching. They're following his life. So John is standing there, we read in verse 35, standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus. John the Baptizer looks at Jesus as Jesus walks by, and he said to these two disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So in perfect John the Baptizer fashion, he takes people that are looking to him as they follow the Lord, and he says, "Look to Jesus." Now, that's a pretty good sermon right there, but that's not where we're going today. He says, "Look to Jesus. That's the Lamb of God." And so these two disciples, verse 37 tells us, these two disciples heard John the Baptizer speak, and they followed Jesus. So now they were following John the Baptizer. Now they physically, in that moment, begin to follow Jesus. And the idea is really even bigger than that, that now these two disciples, Andrew and the other, begin to, with their life, now they follow Jesus. Right? The whole ministry of John the Baptizer was to point people to Jesus, which is pretty good for us too. Right? If that's what my life is, if my life, not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a follower of Jesus, if my life points people to follow Jesus, I don't think I can do too much better than that. So we read that they follow Jesus. And then verse 38, and Jesus turned. So he's got these two disciples that have just started following him. And verse 38 says, and Jesus turned and saw them following. And he said to them, "What do you seek?" So Jesus now says to these two disciples, "What do you seek?" They're in that moment and with their lives. He says, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. They say, "Where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Well, come and see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. I was reading one Bible commentary, and I really like the way these guys lined it out. So you've got Jesus, and as these two begin to follow him, they've been kind of passed on to Jesus from John the Baptizer. John is fulfilling his ministry, and these two begin to follow Jesus physically in that moment. And Jesus stops, and he turns, and he says, "What are you seeking?" And that's a good question for us as we're still in the beginning of a new year. What do you seek? What do you seek? This one commentator I read, I really liked what he said here. He said that John the Baptizer had done his ministry well, because these two disciples of his, when Jesus says to them, "What do you seek?" They didn't say, well, help us with this or bless us with this, which would have been fine. It wouldn't have been wrong for them to say, "Lord, I need your help," or "We need your help," or "Please do this for us." But what did they say? They said, "We want to know more about you, Jesus." He said, "What do you seek?" And they basically said, "We seek you." And we're seeking to understand more about you. And he says, well, come and see. They said, where are you staying? And he says, well, you come and you see, which is a beautiful invitation. Come and see. And that's what Jesus says. He says, come and see. And is Jesus saying to you this morning, come and see? Maybe you're saying, who are you, Jesus? I believe Jesus is saying to us, every one of us, well, come and see. When he says, what do you seek? I think they say, what they say is the best answer we could have in our hearts. And it's, Jesus, I'm seeking you. They could have said any number of things, and it would have been okay. But they said, we're seeking you. We want to know more about you. And that's what we're going to be looking at today in the scriptures. What does it mean to seek the Lord in 2018? What does it mean, and how do we do it, and why should we do it? So as we begin to turn our hearts, now in this moment, as we begin to turn our hearts and begin to think, what am I seeking? What am I after? What am I running hard after? Not just today, right? You may, you know, it's Sunday, it's the first day of the week. You may be already thinking about this week and what's going on and how your week may line out. And that's fine. But are you seeking Jesus this week? Are you seeking to know him better this week? I think that's the best we can do. And then as you think of your 2018, what are you seeking this year? You know, there's so many things that we could seek, and there's so many things that would be fine for us to seek. You know, maybe you're saying, I'm seeking a better relationship with my family. I'm seeking a promotion at work. There's all kinds of good things that we can seek. Now, there's some bad things we can seek too. But what are you seeking in 2018? It's good for us to consider and to bring these things before the Lord. Will you pray with me now? Let's pray. Let's bring our hearts before the Lord now and say, Jesus, help me to consider. Let's welcome Jesus into our thinking and into our 2018 and help ask him to help us to seek him. Father, we look to you. Lord, we look to you because you're the author of life. Lord, you're the one who spoke us into existence physically. And you're the author of spiritual life. Lord, you said that you came that we might have abundant life and full joy. Lord, thank you for the picture of these two disciples, Andrew and whoever the other one is. Lord, thank you that they're a great pattern for us. Lord, we want to seek you. Would you help us today, please, Father, to seek you and to consider how we can live our lives this year so that when we come to the end of this year, we won't look back with regret. Lord, help us to make choices, not just this morning, but for all this year that will lead us to the best, to your best. You taking over more and more ground in our lives. Lord, that's what we seek today. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that maybe even as I pray this, even as we come seeking you in this moment, Lord, if there's anybody here who's fearful to pray that prayer, oh Lord, I pray that you'd come in like a flood. And Lord, remind us of your great mercy. Remind us that as we turn our hearts to you, you'll never cast us out. God, thank you for your mercy toward us. Thank you for your grace through Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So as we think about seeking the Lord, you know, this term seeker became quite a big deal some years ago here in the U.S. And I think the word seeker has kind of fallen on hard times. So we're just going to talk about it for a minute here quickly. First thing I want us to look at is that God seeks us. God seeks you. Look here in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. Seeking starts with God himself, God seeking us. Jesus came to seek out, as John said earlier, all of us who had raised our fists against him. And it's true. Maybe physically you haven't done that. I don't think I did that physically. But in my heart, I rejected God's way. And I said, God, I'll be in my own king of my life. Thank you. And God has sought us out. I hope you're sitting here this morning because God has sought you and because you're seeking him. So we start with God is the seeker. God is seeking us. That's what he came to do 2,000 years ago when Jesus, God the Son, put on flesh and walked among us and didn't just show us how to live, he showed us how to die. He died not for his own sin, but for ours. And in his dying, he showed us how to die to self and how to be alive to God and how to live for others and not just ourselves. Think of Luke 15, we get these pictures of a shepherd seeking a lost sheep and a woman seeking a lost coin and a father seeking a lost son. Seeking God starts with God seeking us. And I'm so thankful that he does, because if he had left me to myself, I never would have sought him. I never would have sought him on my own. So that leads us to a question. Can we seek the Lord? Can we seek the Lord? In Romans 3, we get these verses, and let me back up and give us a little bit of background. We're going to look at Romans 3, verses 10 and 11. Remember what's going on in Romans. Romans is this big, long discourse. It's kind of a legal argument, actually. The whole letter that the Holy Spirit wrote through Paul to the Roman church that we call the book of Romans, it's really this big argument, not an argument like, you know, griping at somebody, an argument like this. It's this big idea, this big thesis. And it's really the gospel. And what he does, Paul's not in a hurry. Piece by piece and step by step, Paul is building the argument for the gospel. And where he starts in the first three chapters, and here we are, we're in the kind of the backside of this first three chapters in Romans. And what Paul is saying is that every one of us is under sin. He's saying that in every one of our lives, mine and yours, in every human that's ever walked the planet except for Jesus, sin is at work in us. And the point of this part of his argument is that because sin is working in you and me, we do not have fellowship with holy God, with a perfect heavenly Father. That because we've turned away, because we've chosen our own way, that we don't have intimate relationship with a heavenly Father. But that's what God is after with us. Yeah, he didn't make us so that we could be lost forever. He made us because he wants intimate. He doesn't need us. We come out being blessed, but he wants fellowship with us. And so he made us and we turned away and he seeks us out. And that's the gospel. That's why Jesus came. So what we see in Romans, Paul is building this argument. And so he says this, and he's quoting Psalm 14 here in particular. But he says this, he says, there's none righteous, not even one. Now we know that if we're in Jesus, he's made us righteous. So this is talking about my unregenerate self, right? This is talking about those of us before we knew the Lord, before we'd welcomed Jesus as our sin bearer. But he says, in and of myself, apart from Jesus, he says, there's none righteous, not even one. He presses it home. He says, there's no one who understands. Nobody gets God. None of us understands him. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He so far outranks me. He's so infinitely beyond what I can think or grasp or imagine. Paul's making the right case here. This is true. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, there's none who seeks for God. So we got to start here. Can we even seek him? Well, we got to remember Paul's argument. Paul is saying that until we know Christ, until and unless we've welcomed God's provision for our sinfulness, which is Jesus. Remember what Jesus did on the cross? He took our sin. He made the way. He paid the way with his own death. And then what he's doing now is he's calling you and me to entrust ourselves to him, to not try to make our own way or find our own way. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am the way. He didn't just make the way. He is the way because nobody else paid for sin. But until we come to that place where we've entrusted ourselves to him, the only sin bearer, he says, none even seeks after God. So can we seek God? How is this? I mean, this seems to be contradictory. How can we seek him or we don't seek him? What's the deal? Well, here's how God looks at this. He made us to seek him. In Acts, he tells us, in Acts 17, he tells us, "And he, God, made from one man, Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Why? Verse 27, that they would seek God. His purpose in making you and me is that we would seek him. That's why he made us, that we would seek him. But because of our sin, it got all messed up. He made us to seek him. One of the guys that was in first service, he said he thought I was going to start talking about OEM. And I was like, what is that? It's original equipment manufacturer. He's like, this is the OEM purpose. I was like, that'll preach. I like that. I'm stealing it. And he's right. This is the purpose. God made us to seek him. That's what he says. But there's that problem of sin. So how can that be overcome? Well, so how is it possible? Well, in John 6, there's many places we'd look at to see the answer to this. But in John 6, 44, we get the answer. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And there it is. The only way that we can seek him is because he first seeks us. And what he does is, he looks down and he sees people caught up in sin, like me and like you, and he says, "Come to me." He says, "See my son? He paid the price for you on the cross. Trust him and seek me." If he hadn't sought us, we would never seek him. But he has sought us, and he has drawn us to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. He's the one way. Why? Because only Jesus paid for our sin on the cross. Nobody else paid for sin on the cross. Jesus alone. He's the one way. And so the Father reaches in and he calls out to us and he draws us to himself through Jesus. And now we can seek him. That's how we can seek him, is because he has first sought us. He draws us to himself. Is God drawing you today? Is he drawing you to himself today? I believe he wants to draw all of us to himself. Whether it's first time, maybe you're sitting here today and you say, "I've been in church, I got my Bible, I've heard Jesus-y things before, but no, I've never entrusted myself to him. I've never taken me off the throne and put Jesus in that spot and said, 'Jesus, you be the king. You come in and you take my sin away and you be the king of my life, and I'll follow you all my days and into eternity.'" If you've never done that, Jesus is drawing you. The Father is drawing you to his son, to the only way to have real face-to-face close relationship with him. That's what he's got for us. And if you've done that already, praise the Lord. He's still drawing you. He still entreats us to seek him. And all the more as his children, blood-bought children. That's what he's calling us to do, is to seek him. Remember, that's why we were made. He made us to seek him. So a few questions. First, why seek him? Why would I seek him? And kind of pressing in here is it worth it? Think about it. In 2018, you can seek many things. You can seek many things, kind of greater or lesser, in a day or throughout the year or in a moment. There's all kinds of things that you could seek. Some good, some not good. But if you're going to seek the Lord, is it really worth it? And we just got to be honest here. I think this is where a lot of us have to kind of turn into the Lord and face him and say, "Lord, I'm scared to seek you because I'm not sure it's worth it. If I seek you, I'll have to let some other things go, and I'm not sure that it's worth it." And he is calling us to trust him. And he is most definitely worth it. Not just for him. The more of him that I get, the more life I get, the more joy I get. As he gets more ground in me, as he becomes the king of more of the turf of my heart, he gets glorified, right? Because that's why he made me. This is the purpose for which he made me, was to seek him and to love him. But you know what? It's not like I don't get blessed in the process. As I seek him, you know what? I love my wife better. As I seek him, I lead my kids better, my family. As I seek him, I'm a better son, I'm a better brother. There's all kinds of things that you can seek this year. But when you look back at the end of this year, when you come to the end of December 2018 and you look back, will you look back with regret? Will you say, the things that I made at the top of my list of how I actually saw it, was it worth it? I believe if we put Jesus in that spot, it'll always be worth it. And yes, there is cost. There is cost. We're going to be honest. If I'm seeking Jesus, that means I'm going to let some other things go. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So the first question, why seek him? Well, I got three ideas from you, all from the scripture. First is, he rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Look at Hebrews 11. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then he goes on, for he who comes to God must first believe that he is, believe that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. You know what? If you want to, you know, if you want to receive reward from somebody, how could it get any better than God himself? If you're going to receive rewards from somebody, I want to receive rewards from God himself. There's another version, another translation of this, and it says, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek his face. You know what the translators there have done? They've taken this idea of seeking, of being in the hunt, hard charging for something. And it's the idea of seeking his very face. In other words, real relationship with God, deeper relationship with him, closer, more intimate, abundant life in Jesus. He says, if I'll seek him, he'll reward me. So there's a really great reason that's all to my benefit. But remember, it's also why he made me. You know, that OEM term, that original equipment manufacturer, Jesus spoke me into existence. And so he knows what makes me tick. He knows how I work the best. And he knows what things can trip me up from experiencing the life that he really has for me and for you. If I'll seek him, right, I'll live, you know, to coin a phrase, my best life. But not just now, for now and eternity. This is what he's got for us. So when I seek him, he rewards me. Second idea for you, from the scriptures, in Psalm 63, he satisfies our spiritual thirst. He satisfies the thirst of my soul. Look what David says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Oh God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You see what David's doing? David's out in the wilderness. And he's saying, just like my physical body is thirsty, and like my flesh has this yearning in it, he says, my soul thirsts for you. And notice, he says, for you. Not for things of you, not for things from you, but for you yourself, God. That's what David's after. He's saying, God, who I need is you yourself. Sometimes it's easy to get caught in the trappings and the things on the edges. And God is saying, no, I made you to seek me. Not even blessings from me. But you're at your rightest when you seek me. He made us to run on him. He's our fuel. He's our here and now. He's our greatest end. That's what David's seeking. David says he satisfies this soulish thirst. So third reason, from the scriptures, in Psalm chapter 40, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. When we seek the Lord, we get joy. We're right back to that OEM thing. You know, if you've got a car and you got that owner's manual for your car, you can treat that car however you want, but if you want it to run the best, you're going to follow what the maker says. If you want to try to put sugar in the gas tank, you can do it, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to run. If I want his greatest joy, He says, seek me. He says, if you seek me, I will give you joy. This reminds me, you know, when you think of the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5, you know, there's 9 fruit of the Spirit. The second one, right after, number one is love. What's number two? Joy. He's got joy for us. He wants us to seek him. That's what he made us for, is to seek him. So why seek him? It is worth it. He rewards seekers. He satisfies our soul, and he gives us joy. So now let's keep on pressing in. We've talked about why. Can we even do it? We've talked about why. But now I've got to press down to the brass tacks of, so how? How do I actually do this thing called seeking God? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're going, you know what, Mike? I don't even know what you're talking about. How do seek God? What is that? In Isaiah 55, and I want to commend Isaiah 55 to you. If you're not familiar with it, Isaiah 55 is just, it's an awesome chapter. And Isaiah the prophet, he basically starts, he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, there's that word again, thirst. He says, everyone who thirsts, come on in and buy. Even if you have no money, he says, there's no cost to you. It's a picture of salvation in the Lord Jesus. He says, come on in. If you're thirsty, come on in and slake your thirst at no cost to you. Remember, who paid for your salvation on the cross? Jesus. You could never pay that cost. The only way you and I could pay the cost for our sin would be to go to hell and be separated from God forever. Jesus paid the cost. At the front end of Isaiah 55, that's the invitation. Come on, the price has been paid. Come on, there's life for you. And then as Isaiah presses down, we come to verse 6. And he says this, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And he, God, will have compassion on him. And let him return to God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, maybe you're sitting here today, or maybe you can hear my voice today, and you're saying, I don't know how to seek God. I don't feel like I am that close to God. You know what Isaiah does here? It's really the gospel of Jesus. It's like an early telling of the gospel of Jesus. He's saying, the price has been paid for you at no cost to you. God is making a way for you. But he says this, he goes on, he says, seek the Lord, there's our phrase, right? Seek the Lord while he may be found. What's that mean? You know, I remember as an unbeliever when the Lord was seeking me. At first, I didn't even have a clue it was God. I just knew something was going on. I knew that there was some pain in my soul and I had to figure it out. But eventually, I began to be aware that God was working, something's going on, and it was blowing every circuit I had. He was seeking me, but I was aware as I grew that he was at work. He was calling out to me and he wanted me to respond to him. You know, the idea in the front end of these two verses says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. There are times in your life and my life when the Lord is upon us and we know it. Or maybe we aren't figuring it out right on the front end, but we come to a place where we recognize God is doing something in my life and he wants me to respond. He's seeking me and he wants me to respond and seek him, to be responsive to his Holy Spirit's work in my life. If you're sitting here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I got a Bible, I've been to church, I've heard Jesus-y things, but I don't know that I'm resting what the Savior has done. You know, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If Jesus is calling out to you, respond to him. Turn to him. And let what Jesus has done on the cross be put to your account. He saves sinners. That's what he does. That's the business he's in. Look at what Isaiah says here. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. You know what that is? That's repentance. It's turning away from my sin, turning away from, no, God, I got this. No, I don't got this. I can't save myself. I need God to do what I could never do, and that's be the way for me to have an intimate personal relationship with him through Jesus. That's it. He says, let him forsake his way and turn away from his thoughts. And then he says, and let him return to the Lord. Or maybe if you're sitting here today and you say, you know what, I'm not really sure about where I stand with the Lord. Or maybe you're sitting here and you say, I am sure. I'm not a follower of Jesus. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you realize that and you're here just trying to check him out. Maybe you're trying to check us out and say, you know, are these people for real? Well, you know what? I'll be the first to say, church is full of hypocrites, and here I stand. But God is real. God is real. He's the Savior, not the church. He's the Savior, and he'll never forsake you. He'll never fail you. So maybe the word for you would be, let him return to the Lord. Maybe it would be, you need to first, for the first time ever, turn to the Lord and entrust your whole self to the Lord and say, Jesus, be my Savior. That's where life begins. And then he goes on, he says, and he, God, will have compassion on you. He says, turn to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's just the gospel. That's just the gospel, plain and simple. So how can I seek him? How can I seek him? I can seek him while he's near and while he's calling out to me, as an unbeliever or as a believer. Let's look at another verse. This is in Hosea chapter 10, Hosea 10, 12. He says, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground. You know what? If that last verse is the gospel, kind of especially geared towards those who don't know Jesus yet, this one would certainly be for those of us who know Jesus. Break up your fallow ground. You know what that means? There's a lot. We got people who know a lot more about a farm or a garden in here than me. You know what fallow ground is, right? Fallow ground is ground that's meant to have a crop in it that hasn't had a crop in it in a while. It hasn't felt the cut of a plow or a till or a tiller or a blade in it in quite a while. It's fallow. And what can happen to fallow ground is it can get hard. You know, the reason we put a plow or a tiller into the earth is to break it up and soften it so that it can receive air and water and seed, so that it can be fruitful the way God intends. So look what Hosea says. He says, break up your fallow ground. He says, there's places in your heart that maybe have become hardened. Maybe there's areas of my life that I've not tended to well. And so Jesus is calling out, soften those places. Welcome me into those places. And why? Because it's time to seek the Lord. So I'm speaking mostly to believers here. Maybe even as I say these things about breaking up fallow ground, maybe even as I'm talking, the Lord has put his finger on an area in your life. I got to tell you, he does this with me all the time. Maybe there's a broken relationship in your life. And maybe you've come to the place where you've just said, you know what, I give up. He didn't want you to give up. Now, the power is not in you to heal that relationship either, but he doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to break up your fallow ground and say, Jesus, I need you here. Come into this place in my heart. I need your help. I need you to give me hope. I need you to change me. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Remember, one of my favorite pictures of forgiveness. Forgiveness is when you set somebody free and then find out that you were the prisoner. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. Why? Because it's time to seek the Lord. We've got to be in that constant place of Jesus. See if there be any unclean way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. The way that leads to life everlasting. The way that leads to those nine fruit of the Spirit coming out, right? My life being fruitful in Jesus. That's his plan for you and for me. But the natural, kind of just living in this earth, right? Living in this sinful body. It's just the natural state of being that places tend to get hardened in our hearts. And there's places that we, whether it's because of fear or pain or hurt, whatever it is, we can let them go fallow. And he says, break up that fallow ground. Welcome me into these places because it's time to seek the Lord. So how can we seek the Lord? We can break up that fallow ground. Now, a few of the things to help us, a few of the practical from the Bible ways. So how can I seek the Lord? What's it look like? In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, we read this. If you seek her, this is God's wisdom. If you seek her as for silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, and he goes on to say, you'll get what you need. You know, you remember in the Proverbs, you've got these two beautiful women in the Proverbs. One of them is wisdom, really God's wisdom, personified in this beautiful woman who's calling out to naive young men. And then you've also got this other beautiful woman. Watch out. And you know who she is? She's folly. And she is also calling out to naive young men. But here we've got wisdom of God, really God himself personified in this beautiful woman who's calling out, choose me, seek me. But how do we seek her? Like silver, like hidden treasure, like gold. You know, I've never been a prospector for gold. But you know, we've all studied history. Remember back in the 1840s, you got the 1849 gold rush out there in the Pacific Northwest? Many people died in their pursuit of treasure. Why? Because they were all in. They gave their whole self to the pursuit. And God is saying, seek me like that. All in. Seek me like that. The same way you would seek silver or gold. Let's go on to Jeremiah 29. How do we seek him? And it's really the same idea that we've just looked at, but a slightly different picture. You know, just last week we looked at Jeremiah 29:11, a pretty well-known verse. But that passage continues on here and from here in verse 13. God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, with your whole self. And let's think about it for a minute. If there's anything that's worthy of my whole life, it's God himself, my maker and my savior. The question is, will I trust him? Is the cost worth it? And it is. But look here, there's a promise here. You see the promise built into this verse? He says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, lest you begin, if you're anything like me, you look at this and from the very get-go, it's easy to be disheartened. And you say, with all my heart, I'm going to fail after about 2 seconds. But that's okay. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. Remember, Jesus was perfect for us. It's not about our being perfect. It's just about being all in. And when we fail, and when we find, you know, after 5 seconds and I go, man, I'm already selfish again. I'm already thinking about me and I've lost sight of God. He just wants me to turn my heart to him. Just turn my gaze back to him. Say, Jesus, I need your help. I want to seek you for yourself, for all your worth. I want all of me to be invested in all of you. God, help me. Help me to bring all of my heart. Next, let's look at Psalm 105, verse 4. Here again, these are ideas. How can I seek him? What's it look like? In Psalm 105, verse 4, he says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. So building on that idea of with all your heart. And remember, there's a promise. You'll seek me and find me. And he goes on in that Jeremiah passage. He says, I'll let myself be found by you. Sounds a little odd, doesn't it? He's saying, I'm not playing some cosmic game with you. If you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. He's saying, I'm not up here playing some game of hide and seek. You give me your heart, and I'll let myself be found by you. And then we get this other idea of seeking his face continually, over time. And again, this is not a call to perfection. This isn't a call to, but what about after 5 seconds or a minute or a day and I face plant? Remember what the Lord says. He says, I will in no wise cast you out. He's full of mercy. The psalmist says, he's mindful of our frames that we're just dust. I love that verse. And we should never use that verse, right, to excuse sin. That's not what that verse is about. When he says that he's mindful of our frames, that we're just dust, that's not me saying, well, so it's okay if I sin. No. The right response there is to say, he's full of grace. And he knows that I'm living on a sinful planet in a sinful body. And I got real enemies, the world, my own flesh, and the devil. And they're coming against me. And they don't want me to follow God. The idea of continually seeking him, it simply means as often as I become aware that I'm seeking something else, that I've left him out in the cold, it means I just turn my heart, Jesus, help me. I think it can be a daunting thought, an intimidating thought for us to say, God, I'm going to seek you continually with all my heart. Don't let that hold you back because you know you're going to fail. We are going to fail. It simply means as often as I find myself, whether it's I've been convicted of sin or something that's pulling me away, trying to get my eyes off of him, I just want to welcome him into it right then. Just, Jesus, I need you here. Jesus, I want to seek you, but my heart is divided. Help me have a whole heart. Help me have all my heart looking to you. It just means crying out to him again. He's full of mercy. He's full of mercy. Let's look at one other verse that's going to help us to see. Again, building on that idea of continually now, in Proverbs 8:17, God says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Those who diligently seek me will find me. I got to tell you, for a long time in my saved life, I've been praying, God, make me more diligent. I hope that you have a picture in your mind. When you hear the word diligent, is there some picture that comes up in your mind? Something, I hope there's a skeleton that's got some meat on it that comes up in some sort of a picture in your mind when you think of diligent. I'm going to tell you what I think. When I think of the word diligent, I think of somebody flat slap getting after it. Somebody working hard. Somebody who is not easily thrown off of the task that they are in pursuit of. They're diligent and nothing is going to thwart their pursuit of whatever it is they're after. And that's how God says, he says, diligently pursue me. And again, you see the promise here. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. But you know what? He's worthy of my whole self. He's worthy of me being all in. He's God. And so he calls out to us. He seeks us and says, seek me, and you will find me. Do you see the mercy of God in that? I do. So what will you seek this year? What will you seek? And realize that if you've come into, you know, we're two weeks in. There's 50 weeks of this year left. What if you started today and you said, you know, Jesus, I want to seek you with my whole heart this year. Now we got to realize that's going to be comprised of moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day, week by week. But he just gives us a moment at a time to live. Will you seek him? Will you seek him for all you're worth and for all he's worth? Remember the promises and remember his mercy. And I want to leave you with this last thought. And it's that Jesus is seeking close fellowship with us even more than we're seeking close fellowship with him. He is seeking close fellowship with you. God seeks us first. Our seeking him, it's really just our responding to him. He's the initiator. We respond. Let's be responsive. And remember, break up that fallow ground. Bring a soft heart. And I got to tell you, if there's a place in your life, if there's some place where you're feeling stuck, where you feel like, I don't know how to get the plow into the ground here. If you want help, there's help to be had. Both here today, as well as through the week. After we close the sermon, we're going to sing a song. And after we close the sermon, if you want to come down here and have somebody just pray with you, you don't have to say what the issue is. You say, pray for me. God knows what's going on. If there's a hard place or a stuck place in your life, come on. Don't try to do it yourself. You aren't supposed to. Let the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ come alongside you and seek the Lord with you and on your behalf. That's why he's made us a body. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Lord, we're so thankful that you seek us. If you didn't seek us, we'd never have a thought of you. But Lord, you do seek us. And Lord, you grab a hold of our hearts. Lord, we want to seek you. Lord, thank you that you're mindful of our frames, that we're just dust. But Lord, we don't want to stay stuck. Lord, thank you that it's your mercy that calls us forward. Lord, draw us with cords of love to seek you this year, to seek you just moment by moment. And Lord, as often as we find we've lost our way, oh Lord, let us run to you because you're a merciful Heavenly Father. Lord, don't let us believe the lies of the enemy or the world or our own flesh. Lord, you are worth our lives. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for loving us and demonstrating your love for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, who before we have a thought of him, he died for us when we weren't even thinking of him. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Lord, move our hearts. Lord, not with empty emotion, but with the truth and the grace of Jesus. Lord, let us seek you in 2018. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.